right. Welcome to the third episode of the Van Jose podcast, episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, I guess.
Oh dear God, Revenge of the Sith.
I mean, it can only go up. Episode 4 has got to be A New Hope.
I mean, true, it's just those movies were so bad. Those first 3 prequels.
I could give Revenge of the Sith some Revenge okayness. Of the
Sith was all right. I mean, they ruined what's-her-name, Princess Padme.
Yeah, that was...
It wasn't a great female role
by the end there.
Like, it's like, what happened? She used to be super badass, and now it's like, all of a sudden, now she's like, pregnant Bleh. And whiny.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Why did you do that to her? She was great.
Oh.
Disappointing.
Very disappointing. Speaking of disappointing, do we want to start with the Vancouver Canucks?
I mean, good transition, but yeah. I
Perfect
hate you.
Segue.
Yeah, 6 losses in a row, that's, you know, less than ideal. The good news is, Elias Pettersson is scoring again. Took him a little while. He had a little bit of a poor run there, just because the team wasn't doing so well either. Losing 6 in a row, and in a lot of cases to inferior competition is...
Yeah.
Not good. It's not looking so good right now. We called up Sam Gagner, though. Sam Gagner is back in green and blue for the Canucks again.
That's exciting. That's something.
I mean, it's exciting, but, you know, they made such a good call. Like, Gagner getting cut was a huge deal, I think, in my opinion anyway, it was a really big deal when they cut Sam Gagner because it was a big change for the team that they were willing to kind of admit, okay, some signings that with veteran players aren't working. There are younger players in our system that can do the same job, that can do a better job, I should say, than the veteran high price signings we were making. But we're not afraid to make those cuts and reward those younger players who have taken over a role. So Sam Gagner getting cut was a big deal for the team because players like Nikolai Goldobin and Jake Virtanen and other younger players had shown up and proven that they deserved a spot over Sam Gagner.
Goldobin's kind of showing himself off a bit more, I think.
Yes, he's looked great in the last little bit. Some people are still really low on Goldobin, and I don't agree, and I think they're wrong. But, exactly. The thing with Gagner is, him moving on to Toronto, to the Marlies, especially because it wasn't to the Comets and it was to the Marlies, meant, you know, they're trying really hard to make sure that their younger players are getting the opportunities that they deserve and not just keeping them back because somebody's getting paid more than them.
That's huge.
And the fact that Gagner has to come back because of so many injuries is disappointing that they had to bring him back. But, I mean, Gagner is the right... Bringing him back was the right call because of all the injuries.
At this point,
absolutely, it was the right decision. It's just too bad that it had to happen this way, you know?
Gagner was, like, a 6 overall pick or something, wasn't he? Like, top 10 when he was drafted?
He was a big... a big Oilers draft pick, and we will get to the Oilers, but... Because they've been just a barrel of fun this week. Yeah, the Gagner has had just... I feel like Gagner is a good player. I will say this. I don't think Gagner inherently is a bad player.
No.
I just think, yeah, 6 overall. You're right, 2007, 6 overall to the Oilers. He's not a bad player at all. I just think that the system that Travis Green plays and uses for the Canucks just never really fit with Gagner in the picture, and they just could never really find a spot for him that fit that worked long term. And I think them admitting that wasn't working and sending him to the Marlies was a big step for the Canucks and not just trying to fit a square peg in a round hole, you know? And I think bringing him back in this one game that we've seen with him back, he looked good. He played really well.
Yeah. To the Jets, yeah, against the Jets, right?
Against the Jets, yeah. He wasn't a negative in that game. He was making good plays. He looked like he obviously had a little bit of issues at the beginning of the game, but as the game went on, he obviously, he looked like the NHL player that he should be. He should not be in the AHL. It's just that the contract the Canucks signed him to was a little bit much, and just and they kind of tanked his value a little bit as well. So,
yeah. So some other losses. The Canadiens probably should have beat the Canadiens that one, huh?
Oh, we will. The Habs game that sucked because the Canucks had played really well. Nay, I think in a lot of ways they deserved a point out of that game.
Could have at least gone to overtime there.
Yeah, that should have at least gone to overtime. And then Michael Delzato took the world's stupidest penalty with about 3 minutes to go. Because Jesperi Kotkaniemi had the puck, passed it over up to a defenseman at the blue line. And 3 seconds after the play was gone, Delzato just leveled him with a high hit, with a kind of high hit. And just because he, for whatever reason, and took a penalty for interference because... I don't know what he was thinking.
That's Delzato hockey, baby.
Yeah, seriously. It's like, what were you even thinking? There's no reason to make that hit. That's pointless. Why hit an 18-year-old kid for that like, what reason could you possibly have for making that pointless hit with 3 minutes to go in a game that you're tied? And, of course, power play ends up connecting for Montreal, and they win the game. That's that play... Michael Delzato, even though he scored a goal, single-handedly cost the Canucks that game.
Hate to see it. I mean...
I don't know how he even played against the Jets. I would have benched him, honestly. That would have... Probably. I would have benched him for that. I would have been like, nope, you're not playing today. You're a scratch tonight for sure. But maybe I'm just not as nice as Travis Green. Travis Green's a good coach.
Are you worried about, like... With all the coaches on the chopping block this season, it seems like. Are you in any way worried about Travis Green?
Not even. Travis Green has done... I don't think the Canucks would be in any better situation than they are now with a different coach than Travis Green. I think he's done a pretty darn good job with what he's got.
Definitely. I mean, you're still clinging on to third in the division, I believe.
If the Canucks... Yeah, I mean, especially because, I mean, half the players are injured. The team did do way better than expected to start the year.
It started out really hot.
Yeah, I don't see any way the Canucks would be in a better scenario right now if even Joel Quenneville was coaching. Like, there's just no way. They're not that good a team. They're not a team that should be competing for a Pacific Division spot. It just so happens that the rest of the division is either terrible or underperforming.
Yeah.
So... They shouldn't be here. They shouldn't even be here. But the fact that they are says a lot to Travis's coaching and the way he's been able to really take some players who weren't expected to do much this year or were expected to be on the bubble and made them into and given them the opportunities to succeed. Guys like Jake Virtanen and Ben Hutton and Nikolai Goldobin, who weren't exactly the most popular Canucks at the beginning of the year, have come into this season and become become staples on the offensive side of the puck.
I'll always root for Nikolai Goldobin just because I did like him when he was in the Sharks organization. There wasn't a spot for him, and I think Vancouver made a lot of sense for him, and I think he's going to pan out there really well.
Yeah, I think it took him some time. I know a lot of people, I asked a lot of my coworkers if you're the Finn, like, what they liked about, what their thoughts were on Goldie. And a lot of them said he kind of just didn't, had what it took, but it didn't seem like he had the work ethic at some times, and he just wasn't good at defensive end of the ice. He just wasn't good at back checking.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing in Vancouver. You noticed that. You noticed in Vancouver that back checking kind of seemed to be a big issue with him at the NHL level, because at the AHL level, you don't really need to be both players at the same time. You can kind of get away with being that offensive only minded player. And in the defensive end, and not get burned in the defensive end while you're on the ice. But at the NHL level, it's a bit of a different monster in that regard. So the fact that Travis Green's been able to help coach Goldie into a player who does do a whole lot in the defensive end now, like you notice him when he's back checking now, doesn't necessarily mean the puck's going to stay out of the net. That happens, but it's that idea that he is clearly trying his best.
His work ethic has changed. He's trying, and he's being coached in a way he should be.
Yeah, he's playing a 200-foot game again, and that's what the Canucks needed to see out of him in order to make him a part of the long-term plan, and he's done it, and he's done a great job at it, and playing alongside Elias Pettersson's definitely helped, but I also think that there isn't any reason why you can't say put him with a different center and expect and not get similar results.
Yeah.
I think he's getting there. It's not there yet, but I think at some point you'll be able, this season, they'll be able to put him with maybe with a Bo Horvat or Brandon Sutter when he comes back, and maybe get some, and still get a good amount of points out of him. His shooting percentage has been pretty good from my understanding.
Yeah.
I don't understand the stats as well as some other people do, but from what I've heard, his shooting percentage has just been, like, weirdly low because it's just been getting bad luck bounces on the bounces and stuff. And it was going to pick up, and he was going to start getting points. And it's worked for him now. It's working for him now.
So you play the Ducks tonight. What are you expecting from that? We're getting a W out of this one, finally?
I hope so. I mean, I hope so every night. But, I mean, the way you're kind of looking at two teams who are kind of in the same boat, where they're both incredibly injured. And they're both playing a brand of hockey where they're getting just completely, like, destroyed on in the shots on goal category. Like, the Canucks got filled in by Winnipeg. I think it was nearly 50. Markstrom faced nearly 50 shots. Had a not-so-great game. Apparently, some people are saying that he might be hurt, and they just don't trust Richard Bachman. I didn't even know that was a thing. That was a possibility, but I read that on The Athletic a couple nights ago. But yeah, apparently that's a possibility, and it's that idea that John Gibson is going to be coming, and he's playing tonight, from my understanding, against Vancouver.
And that is, Gibson is a dang good goalie. He keeps them in it.
Gibson is the only reason the Ducks are doing well at all. I mean, without him, they'd be toast.
Yeah, completely.
They'd probably be lower than the Kings right now, I would imagine, without John Gibson. And it's going to come down to Jacob Markstrom's going to have to outplay whether he's healthy or not. I'm not sure whether that's completely, like, confirmed or not, but Markey's going to have to outplay John Gibson. That's a tall order.
That is a very tall order.
It's going to be some firehouse hockey, that's for sure.
Definitely going to be an entertaining one. It's in Anaheim, I believe.
Is it in Anaheim? I wasn't sure
Yeah, it's in Anaheim.
It's in Anaheim. Oh, yeah, you know what? I did know that, actually. I saw some footage this morning on social media and whatnot from practice. Yeah, it's going to be in Anaheim, and then they play in San Jose on Friday. It's going to be, it's a good litmus test game for the team, because you want to see if they're able to, even with all the injuries that they're suffering at the moment, if they can take a team, go up against a team who is giving up a whole lot of shots, way more than the Canucks are.
Yeah,
at this point
they are, definitely.
And see if they can take advantage, because they certainly need to be, and I think if there's a chance to bump this streak anytime soon, it's going to be now.
Yeah. Your next five games, Canucks' next five games are all within the Pacific Division. It's Ducks, Sharks, Kings, and Golden Knights. So, some pretty key matchups there.
Golden Knights. We haven't actually seen a lot of the division rivals. This schedule's been weird.
It definitely has been. I feel like we usually play the Canucks earlier on in the season. I feel like we play a lot of more Pacific Division teams earlier on.
Yeah, well, apparently I was watching Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday, and it was Oilers Flames, and apparently that was the Oilers' first Pacific Division game of the entire rival game of the entire year.
That's nuts.
They didn't play any teams from the Pacific during October and like the first like 2 weeks of November, and that's pretty crazy. The Canucks are in a pretty similar spot. They've only played, they played Calgary twice, they've played Vegas and Arizona once each. And I think that's it from the division so far this year. Yeah, it from the division. They're going to be playing Anaheim tonight, and now it's, the five straight against division rivals. Yeah, five straight.
We played the Oilers, Flames, Ducks. We played the Ducks and the Kings, and I think that's it.
Yeah, I think because you guys are in California.
Ducks twice.
It's a little bit more room to do that. Yeah, whereas Edmonton, ease with the traveling. even though Calgary and Edmonton are both in the same province, Edmonton went on that trip to Europe to start the season,
so that kind of threw everything out of whack
as well. The way I see it, I want to see the Canucks come out of here with a victory. At the very least, they need to beat LA at least once. I mean, LA is reeling. There's no way you shouldn't be able to get at least one win against the Kings either.
I think you could get 3 points out of that, at least push one of it to overtime or a shootout with LA.
Sure. I mean, I want to see a win. The Canucks need to get out of here with a regulation win. They haven't done that since the Boston game.
That's
and they
nuts.
Need to get out. They need to get out of here with some points, with some like 2 points. I want to see a win here. We haven't gotten one in a while. The Canucks are all of a sudden below 500 now, for the first time since the beginning of the season, like when they were 1-2.
Yeah.
They need to win. Win's got to come soon. It's tough to say that because the fact that the team has been so hurt with such regularity, but I don't know. We'll see. They need to win.
I think it'll come tonight. You can't lose 6 and then go on to 7. Maybe you can, but I'm optimistic.
The Canucks would do that.
They'll find a way.
Past history
find a way.
Will tell you they will find a way. Challenge accepted. They will find the opportunities to get that done. But hopefully we'll be seeing some guys come back into the lineup at the very least soon, so that should help as well. Brock Besser, I don't think is skating yet. Once he is, we can kind of breathe a sigh of relief, but right now, without him, it's scary. Things aren't looking so good. From a San Jose perspective, things have been still been a bit of a roller coaster.
It's still, how you feel? Every week, I swear, we come back, and it's like they're inconsistent. They are so consistently inconsistent, it's remarkable, actually. Because every time we come here, it's like they've won 2, lost 1, or they lost 2, won 1, or they're 1-1. And it's the same again. They showed up against the Blues. Arundel had a great 30-save shutout against the Blues. They won 4-0. That was awesome. They looked like the team we'd been expecting. Carlson finally lit the lamp there.
Yes, that's right. You can't. The Carlson's not going to score his first against the Canucks on Friday. It's not going to happen, and that's very important to me. So, good job. Good job, Eric. You did it.
And then they lost a game in overtime last night to the Oilers.
They lost to Ken Hitchcock's Edmonton Oilers.
The Ken Hitchcock version of the Edmonton Oilers, yes. Which...
Now, to be fair, the Sharks have won 3 of their last 5, and they got a point in 1, so they have... You know, they've got 7 out of a possible 10. That's not terrible.
It's not terrible in any sense, but it's, again, going into this season with the lineup that we had and the prior experience, we were kind of hoping for a bit more dominant play that, like, you see glimpses of, like, brief flashes of, oh, there's the Sharks, there's the Stanley Cup contenders.
This is where they turn the corner.
This is it. And then, like, the next, like, 2 nights later, it's like, okay.
This is like, you know, it's like when you've watched those like Stanley Cup championship DVDs that they show every year, where it's like, we were just going through a slump, and then all of a sudden we had this moment that rallied us together, and that's when we became a champion. And
I'm waiting for that moment.
And the Sharks, it feels like that's every week. You feel like that's every week. And then, oops, nope, never mind. They're still struggling. I mean. Even the game against the Oilers, they had the opportunities.
It was definitely there. It's, again, I know you're the one to defend Martin Jones, but I still am not excited with his play.
He looked good against Edmonton.
He did.
He looked fine. You can't really fault him on any of those goals. None of those were, like, soft shots or anything.
I can't fault him on that one. It's just... I think I want to go off on the defense a little bit with the lack of play for Joakim Ryan. He's playing very limited minutes, and I have a lot of faith in him, truthfully, and I think he's a great defensive defenseman, and I understand DeBoer is pushing the Carlson. He wants Carlson out there. He wants Burns, Vlasic, and Braun. But I think you kind of need to throw Ryan in the mix there a bit more. Get him, because the Sharks are kind of pushing this Burns as the greatest defenseman in the league. He's amazing. I'm not denying. I love Brent Burns, but he, to me, has been a bit underwhelming in the defensive zone, personally.
He's not, well, that's the thing with Burns, of course, is that, I mean, we always talk about how he didn't start as a defenseman.
He started on wing,
and it's that, it's hard to push that out of your system, and with Burns, sometimes you catch him on moments where he kind of seems to forget that he's a defenseman now, and he'll be up playing like the wing role, playing like a winger role, trying to get the strip a defense, one of the other team's defensemen of the puck. I think there was one moment like that last night where he was up at the blue line trying to defend a play with two or three Edmonton Oilers down in front of the goal, and by the time the puck was going into the net, Burns was only kind of wasn't really pushing it, wasn't going hard back to stop that play.
Yeah, the Sharks have been giving up a fair amount of odd man rushes, which I'm not a huge fan of. It's difficult to watch at times. It's just, I understand Burnsy, he's a scoring machine. He puts pucks on the net like no other, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, if you want to go after the other team's defenseman, like, leave that to Logan Couture. Like, leave it to the guys
that are playing that.
Like, you got to trust the forwards. And I do trust the forwards completely. Like Kane, Couture, Donskoy, like, I have complete faith in them to do their job. It's just, I think Burns, you know, he gets caught up in the offense of everything, and sometimes that comes back to bite us.
Yeah, Joakim Ryan played a 9:38 against the Oilers last night. That was the lowest of any defenseman by a pretty good amount. Because Brendan Dillon's the next lowest defenseman. He, in terms of ice time, and he played 15 minutes.
I don't have anything wrong with, like, any problem with Brendan Dillon, but I still would prefer Ryan out there over Dillon, personally.
Yeah, I think Dillon, especially because, Dillon isn't really a big scorer, so you want to see a little bit more of the, you want to see a guy who can shut down on one end and then still get a couple points on the other.
Exactly.
Hopefully, you know, I want to see Ryan. Do Ryan and Carlson play the same side? I feel like we've talked about this before.
They might. I think we have talked about this, that they're the same side, so that's why we're not seeing them together.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's a couple players I wouldn't mind seeing play with Carlson other than Dillon, somebody who is a little bit more, a playmaker to kind of pass the puck a little bit around with Carlson, but also somebody who you can trust in that defensive end, which is hard. It's hard to find those guys.
It definitely is.
If it was that easy, everyone would have one, would have a guy like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we find that Stanley Cup championship DVD moment where we actually rally together, but I guess we do that once a week and then fall apart the next day.
Whoops. All right. I think the Sharks' next game is Vancouver, right?
Yep, Friday.
Which we'll get into. So this is a special moment. This is the first time we've ever done, it's the Van Jose rivalry officially begins right here, you know? A new record starts here.
I'm excited for this. I've always liked watching the Canucks and Sharks play. Also, they definitely have the best colors of any jersey in the NHL, so seeing them all out there on the ice is just very aesthetically pleasing. It's just
really, there's
just
no,
pretty.
Even over, like, say, a red jersey or something, you don't want to...
No, I'm not a huge... Like, I don't love, like, red jerseys.
Really?
I don't know. I prefer the blues and the greens.
I mean, blue and green are my two favorite colors, so I'm not going to argue with you there. It's hard to... I liked them before the Canucks started wearing them. I mean, they'd worn them at one point, but it wasn't like when I decided green and blue were my favorite colors, they were wearing red and silver and navy blue.
Yeah.
So no one can make that argument. But yeah, blue. I love that color matchup. It's a good game. It's always good.
The Canucks predominantly yellow with the V. color.
Oh, dear God. Oh, that, no.
That just looks... I don't know what that is. That looks like a bad 70s fever dream.
Oh, yeah. Apparent fun fact, that was invented in the... That was designed in San Francisco.
That makes complete sense.
That was designed in San Francisco in whenever they... I think it was 77, 78 when they came out with those. Yeah, so that's a San Francisco-based company designed that saying, oh, it'll strike fear in the hearts of your opponents and stuff. It's like, no, it's just going to make them laugh at us.
It's just a deep V without being a super deep V.
Yeah, and then it's brown.
Yeah.
It's gold and orange and... brown, I think, or black and brown. The Canucks have, Brian Burke worked for the Canucks, like, right around when they changed away from that color palette, and he called them the puke jerseys.
I mean, it's a fair comparison. Honestly, though, maybe if you brought that back and you forced the team to wear it, that could be your rallying moment. You'd be like, well, we can't play terribly and wear these, so we gotta win and wear these ugly things.
I will die before they put those jerseys back on. I mean, they did a vote for... there was an opportunity. They did a vote in time for the Canucks' 50th anniversary, which is next season. They did a vote in September. Saying which of our former jerseys do you want to see come back for the 50th season as a special jersey, and it was between the flying skate, the flying skate, the flying V, and the original killer whale. So the red, the red, navy, and silver.
And which one won?
The flying skate. It blew all the other options out of the water.
Yeah,
it
the flying skate is pretty sick.
It wasn't even close. They should have, frankly, they should have just gone with all of them. In my opinion, they should have just worn them all.
Even the like V, the puke V.
Yeah, even the puke V. Okay, I would have been fine seeing the puke V show up for, like, one night only. But please don't ever bring it back as, like, a third. No, no, no. Not even, like, as a green and blue version of that jersey. No. They should never bring those back.
There's no logo. It doesn't say Vancouver. It is just a...
But see, the V is for Vancouver. The V. You see? You see how that works?
It just looks terrible.
Isn't that extremely clever?
It's just genius. It's actually ahead of its time, really.
Frankly, yes. Oh, yes. In the future, in the year 3018, we will be seeing those jerseys everywhere. They'll be the talk of the town.
That's just gonna be the standard of clothing then.
Oh man, and like rings. What is it like the? It's gonna be like the weird like shoulder pads and everything like you saw in like old Superman movies. And
oh yeah, yeah.
Like, the aliens would always have, like, the sparkly, like, and then they'd have, like, the weird, like, shoulder pads that are, like, lift up over the rest of your body, the rest of your outfit. That's what hockey jerseys will look like in the future, kids.
The deep V could honestly be, like, just, like, an off-brand Star Trek uniform type thing. I don't even know. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, who knows, right? Strike fear in the hearts of your opponents with this puke gold jersey.
Man, in the 70s and 80s, and people were drafted to Vancouver. They were probably like, damn, I gotta wear those jerseys.
Yeah, especially because the ones they had before were so sleek looking and nice. They were the original green and blue stick in the rink jerseys.
Those are nice. I like those. Gorgeous.
Apparently, I think Stan Smeal talked about how in the preseason they wore those original jerseys. They wore the original stick in the rink jerseys, and then because when he got drafted, they were still wearing those uniforms. And then when they showed up for opening night, there were the gold, the gold red and black jerseys. And it's like, oh no, oh dear God! And with the gold helmets, we should remember they had gold helmets too to go with them.
Can we just bring back gold helmets? Can you leave the classic blue and green?
Well, Nashville's got them. Nashville's got them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nashville's got gold helmets. What other team has been wearing gold helmets recently? Pittsburgh, with their thirds,
gold helmets. I don't like Pittsburgh thirds jerseys. They kind of look like off-brand. You'd buy it discount online from China or at Walmart or something.
I like them. They're kind of a nod to the 80s with Mario Lemieux. And they don't look terrible, I wouldn't say. They're not flying V's.
Okay, that's a low bar, though. That's a very low bar
to clear. I'm aware of that. That's true. I think we're getting a little bit off topic.
We are. But is there a worse jersey than the flying, the deep V?
Yes, the Mighty Ducks alternate where they have Wild Wing in full cartoon crashing out of ice. That is terrible.
What?
That jersey is an easy worst jersey of all time. I think they wore it the other night for retro, like, practice for warm-ups or something. They wore it a few nights ago.
Oh my god, that is hilarious. I'm just looking at this now.
The font is bad on it, too. If we're gonna get really nerdy about it, the font is just disgusting.
This is the most 1990s thing I've ever seen in my entire
life.
It's
really, really bad. I think we might have to, like, make that the photo of the
podcast.
For the podcast, the ugly Wild Wing jersey.
It's important historically.
Should we? Oh, you know what? We have to make a logo of for the podcast, like on the podcast icon. We should just put like a shark and like a shark or a killer whale craft doing the same thing.
Oh yes, doing
the exact same thing. That'd be really funny.
One more comment about jerseys before we go to the preview.
Yeah.
Barracuda, Cleveland Barons, throwbacks.
Yes. Clean. Saw those in person. They were amazing.
Those are clean.
I wanted to see, they were only giving, the replicas they were giving out were, like, they weren't, like exact replicas. They were kind of just more the logo and, like, a couple shoulder patches, and that was on a white jersey, and that was it. I wanted to get my hands on one, though. I just didn't get the opportunity to. But, yeah, the game was fun. The jerseys were very nice looking. It worked really well.
All right.
Going into the game against the Sharks Canucks San Jose rivalry game. Okay, is this a must win for the Sharks? Would you call this a must win?
You know what? I'm gonna say yes. Personally,
I sure wouldn't for the Canucks, but
I mean, I think anything is a step in the right direction for you guys, right?
I mean, if we can keep it to like a one goal game or close, I would say that's a pretty good night, especially with all the injuries. That's a pretty good moral victory, you know?
Yeah, I think the Sharks really, they need to start putting it together at this point. We're kind of nearing the halfway point of the season ish, right?
I think we're a quarter of the way in.
We
might be
a
third. We might be about a third. Close to getting like a third of the season through the season.
Yeah. But it's just like, I think they need to start showing up against teams that they're expected to beat, and I think they're expected to beat the Vancouver Canucks, and what are some key matchups for you? What players do you think is going to be fun to see up against each other?
Well, Carlson playing against the Canucks in a Sharks uniform is going to be cool. It's always going to be cool.
It's never not going to be cool.
It's never not going to be. I mean, it will be cool when, of course, he ends up signing with the Canucks in the offseason.
Oh, right, that's likely thing.
I mean, it's just really exciting for me personally to see Carlson play against his future team. His future team once free agency rolls around. He's going to come to Vancouver and play for the Canucks and play alongside Troy Stetcher. I think it's going to be exciting to see what some of the younger guys can do, like Nikolai Goldobin getting I think this would be his first opportunity to play the Sharks since he became a Canuck. I don't remember if he's gotten a chance, if he's played since, because he didn't get much looks last year until late in the season. I think
he might have gotten one last year, but I could be misremembering that.
He probably has at least one in there, but I think this at the very least would be his first in San Jose.
Yes.
Unless I'm very much mistaken, somebody can correct me.
Also, he's going to be
wrong.
He was put on the second line for you guys, so
with Elias Pettersson. Pettersson's going to be fun to watch. I don't know who they would match. I don't know who the Sharks will find to match him up against, because I wouldn't say there's one solid shutdown pair. I wouldn't say the Sharks have like that shutdown line like a lot of other teams do.
Maybe the Couture centering Hurdle and Meyer line, maybe.
But that's a scoring line.
That's a
They're
scoring
not gonna
line.
Be focused. They're not gonna be focused on trying they're not gonna wanna focus on stripping Pettersson of the puck. They're gonna wanna have it on their own stick to the point where, you know, they won't be focusing on the one guy at a time. They'll probably take it a little bit more not lightly. Lightly is not the right word, but you know.
Yeah.
You need, with a guy like Pettersson, you need a guy who is a little bit faster and somebody who can kind of keep up with the style of play and his ability to just dangle the crap out of you.
Maybe somebody young like Sorensen. He's got speed.
Suomela might Suomela. Be interesting.
He might be interesting. That'd be fun, might, actually.
I look at him as a guy who might match up well against Pettersson, just because he's got that extra foot on the gas pedal. He could kind of make that a little bit more of a challenge. Timo Meier is a guy who I think could maybe do that role, but he's a winger, so it's not as much of a straight matchup. And then from the defensive end, I think you're going to see Vlasic on him a lot. Or you're going to see Vlasic or Braun on him.
Yeah, probably.
Vlasic or Braun are going to be, I think, shadowing him quite a bit on Friday, for sure. And then in terms of, well, like, what sort of, who do you see as going up against, like, the Bo Horvat's line? Who do you think is going to be?
Bo Horvat, that's Leipzig and Gagne?
Gagne played with Pettersson with Pettersson, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay. I was just looking at Daily Faceoff, and they were projecting.
Does Daily Faceoff have him with Bo?
Yeah, they have Bo Horvat, Sam Gagne, and Leipzig.
Okay. 31st best forward for line one in the NHL. Oh, boy.
What a flex. What a flex.
Oh, boy. That's disheartening. Oh, let's see. It's 31st, 25, 27, 21. Oh, dear God. Oh, this team's in trouble. You know, I think Bo Horvat's such a good player, especially I think in the last little bit. He's gotten better. That's the amazing thing about Bo.
He is an awesome player.
Even though, yeah, he's playing with Elias Pettersson, I think part of this is due to Pettersson as a whole, is Bo Horvat has gotten better. Has become even better than when he signed his 6-year extension. And again, I think a lot of that is due to Pettersson in the fact that no longer does Bo have to focus on being the sole attention of every of the best players in the league. Now there's choices. And that's kind of important. And that's super important, because when you're only got one line of offensive talent, it's really easy for another team to just throw their best shutdown lines at that one group and not even worry about the rest of the team. But when now, because Horvat and Pettersson are both centers, teams are having to pick and choose which guys who they're going to put on which. And if they make the wrong call, there's going to be more goals going in the back of their net. And I think that's been huge for Bo, is that no longer is he expected by management and other teams to take the team on his shoulders. Now he's got somebody like Elias who can shoulder that with him, and I think it's been really good for him.
What are your thoughts on Brandon Leipzig, though? Are you a fan? He's, in my opinion, a little underwhelming, but
Leipzig is a guy who I see flashes of good stuff, and I think in the right opportunities he could be a good player. He could be a good depth player. I don't think he'll ever be a guy who you want to see on forward line, on the first line.
No.
But
and I'm but kind that of surprised again, to see him on the first line right now,
well,
honestly.
There's no other choices because of all the injuries. There's no one else there. Normally that guy would be Sven Berchi, but he's not here. So they have to make do with Leipzig. And sometimes I've seen Roussel with him, but I think that's a worse call. So, you know, I'm okay with seeing Leipzig up there for the time being. I've seen flashes of what Leipzig can do, and I think he plays a bit of a more, not agitator, but like a bit more, he's a grittier guy.
He is definitely grittier, yeah.
And I think for a guy like Bo, who does play in the corners and stuff like that, it's important to have that extra player who can do that and not feel like you have to do it all yourself. And that's been kind of, again, that's been the running theme with Bo Horvat on the Canucks, is that he kind of at times has to take over a game. It feels like has to take over a game, and that's not good for him. And that's not good for most players, unless your name is Connor McDavid.
If you're Connor McDavid, you're getting paid to take over the game.
Yes, yeah. No, there are very few players in the NHL can take over a game and it not be a big issue.
Yeah.
When they have to do that. I mean, even with McDavid, the Oilers are so bad as a unit that the fact that he takes over the game and they still lose is a problem.
Exactly.
So it's not even that good. It's not even great when that happens to the generational players. But yeah, Leipzig, I am interested to see how he does.
Who do you think you'd like to see them matched up against? Your first line.
Oof. I mean, they won't have the toughest line. I mean, you're probably going to see somebody like, you'll probably see Jumbo Joe go up against that group.
I think that would be my best guess.
Maybe even, I think the Couture line would be something. That would be more of a, okay, they're going to try and trade scoring for scoring here. And especially because, you know, the Hurdle Couture-Meyer line is one of the best in the league. You're going to have a tough time containing that. You're going to have a tough time if you're the Horvat's line containing that speed a little bit, especially when you've got when you're playing Gagné up against Timo Meier for the most part.
I think I would like to see, you know, Thornton against Horvat and maybe Gagné against LeBanc. Could be an interesting matchup.
Do they have the speed to match that? Do they have the speed to hold up with... Because Leipzig's got some
He's got some wheels. He definitely does.
And Boda's too.
They got Sorensen on that line. And, I mean, that would be Sorensen potentially matching up with Leipzig. That could actually be a pretty interesting, I think, personally. Sorensen, I think, has some wheels also.
What point in the game, like, what scenario in the game would make Peter DeBoer throw all the lines into a blender?
I don't know, playing for more than 5 minutes. It's
we don't have a goal in 2 minutes, guys. All right, everybody's, we're gonna, you know what, we're gonna, Jones, you're going out there, you're gonna play left wing, all right?
I'm surprised they just, like, haven't been like, hey, Thornton, like, you're playing D now, you know, throw Dylan up at center. I'm surprised something bizarre like that hasn't happened yet, if I'm being honest.
They go over to Tim Heed, and they're like, we know we haven't played you much in these last couple of games, but you're starting tonight. All right, first pair? No, in goal. Get the pads on, let's go. You're gonna, get the pads on, we're giving Jonesy a rest tonight, let's go.
What about Arendelle? No. Arendelle will be backing you up, Tim Heed.
Timo, you're pretty good in shootouts on NHL 19. You're going to play goal.
Yeah. score predictions. You got a score prediction on this one?
Score prediction. Okay. That's a tough one. Okay. So, we've talked about how the Sharks kind of tend to play down to their competition. And the Canucks of late have been, you know, well, not lately, but over the course of the season, for the most part, have kind of played a little up to their competition.
Okay.
So it's going to be like 6-4 Canucks. That's what's going to happen. The Canucks
six
are just going to somehow.
You're going to pull are gonna six just somehow, goals out of that?
Somehow. I feel like I have to predict that because reality would tell me that, oh, no, this should be like a 4-0, 3-0, or, you know, one goal night for the Canucks where they just can't seem to get out of their own zone. The Sharks just completely shut them down. But that hasn't happened for either team. What's supposed to happen hasn't really happened for either team up until recently when the Canucks have started losing a bunch of games. So I gotta say, I think the Canucks are gonna somehow just pull a magic 6 goals out of nowhere and win this one, just blow someone out and just blow the Sharks out a little bit.
I'm gonna have to disagree, personally. I'm going to go...
Really?
Hot take. I'm disagreeing with that statement. I'm going to go with a 5-3 win for San Jose.
5-3 win for San Jose. Okay.
That's my prediction.
That's a pretty bold prediction.
And I'm going to add
that the Canucks won't win.
That's the hottest take of it. No, I'm going to also throw in... I'm going to make something absurd. I'm going to say Brendan Dillon is going to score a goal against the Vancouver Canucks.
Didn't he do that last year? I think he did that last year, too.
Maybe he likes playing Vancouver. We'll see.
I went to all 3 games last year. He's from BC, so that would make sense.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Brendan, I think he's from White Rock. I think he's from White Rock, which has amazing fish and chips and is like 45 minutes from Vancouver, 50. Bad traffic. Depending on bad traffic, it's probably more like an hour and a half. But...
Brendan Dillon hat trick. Why not?
No. I think we just delete the franchise if that happens.
I think if Brendan Dillon scores a hat trick on your team, you have to wear the deep V's. You got to go back to the flying V's.
I mean, I can't make that call. I can guarantee. I mean, what if, and maybe is this like a bet we need to make, where it's like, if the Canucks win or if the Sharks win on Friday, I'm gonna have to get a flying V jersey and wear that to the next game.
And then if the Sharks lose, do I have to get a Mighty Wing breaking out of the ice jersey, or
no? Because see, it's so ugly that I'd still kind of want to wear it. I kind of want to own one just out of stupidity.
I feel like people would see it and kind of give you props for wearing the Mighty Wing jersey.
Now that being said, wearing a Mighty Wing jersey to a Sharks game, especially because it is teal, would be maybe frowned upon. So maybe I do make you wear the Wild Wing jersey.
Okay.
Wear it to, like, and make it even worse, wear it to, like, a Sharks-Kings game or something.
Oh, yeah.
You have to go to a Sharks-Kings game in a Wild Wing Ducks jersey and see how many dirty looks you get.
That would be good.
Is this a season bet? Should we make this a season bet?
Or who wins the series? We could do this, but who wins this season?
Because jerseys are expensive. We can't... Because
jerseys are expensive. I gotta save some money for this.
Yeah, we can't be buying jerseys after every single game.
Yeah.
That's going to be a bit much. I also think, you know, we might have to make a trophy or something for the winner of the season series.
The trophy is an Atlanta Thrashers jersey.
An Atlanta Thrashers. That'd be something. Can you even find those anymore?
You can probably find them on eBay.
You'll find them. I mean, oh yeah, for sure you could find one on eBay. I mean,
I'd wear an Atlanta Thrashers jersey. They were kind of cool.
I need my Zach Bogosian jersey from the Thrasher era, you know?
You know, you gotta get the Danny Heatley 50-07.
Oh, man. 50-07, though, that's, that was Atlanta?
Was that Atlanta?
Holy cow.
That might have been
Ottawa,
Atlanta.
I think.
Was it Ottawa or Atlanta?
Ottawa.
It was
that's
Ottawa?
Definitely Ottawa, because
okay.
That was the cup final
year. That was the cup year.
That was the year
they
went
lost to the
cup
Ducks.
Finals.
Were the Ducks wearing
they
were wearing the black and gold ones then, huh?
That was, like, their first season with the black and gold. Those and like the terrible ones, not even the ones that they have now.
It was still
semi-decent.
A step in the right direction, but it wasn't completely there yet.
Can I just say I like the Ducks color scheme?
The black and
like
gold.
I like it. Yeah, I don't mind it. Like, I think when you mix, especially like when they had like those third jerseys, the orange third jerseys with the Mighty Duck logo on them, I thought those were their best jersey. I thought that was the best jersey they'd ever worn. And I know a lot of Anaheim fans will disagree with me out
of
nostalgia.
Oh, they absolutely will. Okay.
But it's out of nostalgia, I'd say that they are. I'd say those were the best jersey they ever wore. I think it mixes Anaheim and the Mighty Duck history really well. And I think it worked.
Yeah, I saw the Kings, they released their thirds, and the fact that there was no gold and purple, I was like, I don't want it. I don't want to look at it.
I think it's decent. It just, you know, it's kind of the same as all their other jerseys.
I just feel like, you know, with LeBron coming to the Lakers and they kind of brought back the more purple dominant
the Showtime
stuff.
Kings.
Yeah.
The Showtime Kings.
The Showtime Kings. Like, I think you got to bring it back. I mean, you're losing at this point. Like, who cares? Like, at least look good doing it. Bring back something retro.
I mean, didn't they bring those back, like, semi-recently, and that's probably why?
Probably why,
like,
but...
Because you, with those, like, with the retro jerseys, you can only bring them out so many times until everyone's got them. And then you kind of got to go, okay, time to change jerseys.
Yeah,
you
know? I miss
that's
the Sharks retro.
The
I liked when, was it 2015 maybe? They had the, like, the retro throwbacks from the 90s. Those were awesome.
Weren't they weren't even technically called a throwback. Weren't they called, like, something, they were called something else. Because they weren't exactly the same.
Was it, like, the 25-year one? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was, like, they were the anniversary jerseys.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about jerseys today.
I know. We could just have a podcast talking about sports jerseys, honestly.
Yeah, join us next week for our spinoff podcast, Jersey Time.
We're just going to talk about the Montreal...
Okay.
What did they hit? The Grizzlies? Were those retro? Or the Vancouver Grizzlies?
The Vancouver Grizzlies were the NBA team.
Yeah, the NBA team. Those are cool jerseys. Those are cool.
I mean, yes, they were. Those were very cool. They were cool when they were, you know... In Vancouver, where there's actually grizzly bears looking at you, Memphis. Change your name, stupid. There are no grizzly bears in Tennessee.
See?
Get out of here. Okay, but before we move on, okay, so the final, if we've got this down, so if the Canucks win the season series, you're going to wear a Wild Wing jersey to a Sharks-Kings game.
Yes, in San Jose.
And
I will do that.
In San Jose, and if the Sharks win the season series, I have to get a Flying V jersey.
Yes.
The gold one specifically, I'm assuming.
Oh,
the
of gold course.
One, not the black one.
The okay. predominantly pukey one.
The pukey one, and wear that to a Canucks Sharks game.
Yes.
Or something. Okay.
Something like that. Yeah.
All right. All right. I think we can. All right.
I can we'll agree with that. That. I can shake online. On that virtually. Shake.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. We'll make that. We'll make that happen. All right.
Let's.
All right. Perfect. That's. I guess that's. You know. That's our bet for the year.
We could close out with some other league.
We gotta close out. I mean, yeah. I mean, there was plenty of it. I mean, the Oilers came into San Jose making news, firing Todd McLellan and
a previous Shark. Him.
Replacing him with Ken Hitchcock, who I thought was supposed to have retired.
I thought he was chilling in Florida, soaking it up on a beach, calling in a career. But here he is, coaching the Edmonton Oilers.
Why?
Why?
Like, if you're Ken Hitchcock, why? Why would you want to do this? I mean, okay, I get he's from Edmonton.
Yes.
I get he's from Edmonton. It's like, you know, it's the boyhood dream or whatever, like, you know, coaching dream, I guess, to, you know, coach your hometown team, your hometown National Hockey League team. But really, right now, this is the team you... This is what you are willing to come out of retirement for? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean,
he got a win in his first game, so there's that.
I mean, speaking of the Oilers, put Ryan Strom to the Rangers for Mr. Ryan Spooner. Again.
Oh, the Oilers.
Why? The Oilers. It's a lot of whys with the Oilers.
Well, it's quite simple. Peter Chiarelli is running out of time, and I think he knows that. So he's starting to make some desperate moves in an effort to keep his job, because that's kind of what... That's he's on the clock right now.
Oh, he definitely
is. Like 100%. Especially now that he's fired Todd McLellan. Because, I mean, you know, it's either playoffs or bust for this team, frankly. If they don't make the playoffs, he's done.
He's donezo.
He's absolutely done.
I mean, do you think Todd McLellan is done from coaching, or do you think somewhere is going to pick him up?
I mean, he's underperformed in a lot of different cities. I mean, yeah. Edmonton is a little bit of a,
it's a given.
Weird one because... Yeah. I mean, he had Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and got them to the second round of, and got to the second round of the playoffs with that group, and then did nothing for the time since. And I don't really know with Todd McLellan, just because he was dealt such a crappy hand, especially last year and this year. He's been dealt a really poor hand. And I mean, he was still making questionable coaching decisions a lot of the time.
Yeah. I'm gonna defend him, though. I did like him as the Sharks head coach. I mean, he wasted
that core.
He did, without a doubt. I mean, he seems like an awesome guy, and I don't think he was I don't think he was loved or, like, revered in San Jose, but he definitely wasn't hated. I don't know.
See, that's where I would say the more glaring issue is the fact that Sharks team, frankly, should have gone to... He didn't get to a cup final even with them.
And I think they definitely should have made it to at least one.
They should have at least made it to the finals.
Yeah.
They maybe not necessarily win a cup, because there have been some crazy good teams in that time, but come on, you gotta win. You can't be losing to the Blues in the first round of the playoffs with that team. Or the Ducks when you win the President's Trophy.
That was... Okay, we don't have to talk about that. That was terrible.
Yeah, I think we should talk about that and how Jonas Hiller just showed up out of nowhere.
Out of like a god. Nowhere.
Ah, Jonas Hiller. He's playing in Switzerland now. He's back home.
Is he?
Isn't he?
Yeah. He probably... So. Yeah.
He's not in the NHL anymore, that's for sure. No. Remember that? That was fun with Danny Heatley and that group in 09. Wasn't that fun,
Danny
kids?
Is he was in the AHL for a while. Is he done? Did he call it quits?
I think he must have. It's been a while.
It's been a while since I've seen the heater in ages.
Most people only know Danny Heatley by the parody Twitter account now.
I mean, that parody Twitter account is fantastic.
It's good. I think he stopped doing it now, actually, whoever it was. I think he's called it a career on that Twitter.
Yeah, I mean.
With McLellan, you know, I think the worst part, let's go over the fact that the Oilers are a crapshoot regardless, because here they had the game against the Golden Knights in Edmonton on I think it, on Sunday. They yes. they play that game. They play it. They have the one. They have the day off. Then they fly. Then they fly Tuesday morning to San Jose, and then they fire McClellan.
Yes.
You had a whole day in Edmonton to do it there, but yeah. no. Instead, you decide, no. You know what? We're gonna fire him right after we fly to San Jose and make him fly back because we're the Oilers and we're terrible at everything.
It's just like they're like, okay, we have an idea. We have an idea, but let's go about it in the most impractical and unnecessary way. I can't understand the thought process behind this team even remotely. Every time they do anything, I'm just like, who?
They never seem...
What?
Yeah, they never seem to do anything, like, even when they make a move that makes sense, they do it in a way that makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like, I get firing Todd McClellan.
That was bound to happen. That was bound to happen.
That was going, yeah, for sure. That was going to happen. But why didn't you do it just the day before in Edmonton so you could have, at the very least, traveled to the new city with your new coach and had a practice with your new coach? Your morning skate.
It's dumbfounding.
Why? Why are you so... How are you guys so bad at this? Man.
I don't know.
I mean, it's an old boys club. We know that. Edmonton's a giant old boys club. And that's... that. And, yeah. What are you going to do with that group?
I don't know.
It's... I mean, the Ryan Strome trade is... I mean, it makes sense. You know? It makes sense that Strome hasn't worked out in Edmonton either. But,
he seems
a bit excited,
I think, to go to New York also. He definitely...
Yeah, excited to get out.
Of Edmonton.
I mean, the expectations on his shoulders were lofty because he was traded for Jordan Eberle, and that's kind of not his fault. But at the same time, he hasn't lived up to the hype.
Not at all.
And even Ryan Spooner, and here's the thing, Ryan Spooner, is a bit of an older guy. He's like a year older.
Yeah.
They're on similar contracts. They're in similar contract scenarios. But Spooner has, in his career over the last four seasons, has outscored Strome in points. It's just this year hasn't worked out for him. This year has been a tough year with the Rangers.
Yeah.
So it's definitely possible that he could come to Edmonton and do a good job. It's just a matter of, this all comes back to the whole, hey, you traded Jordan Eberle for whatever reason.
Because you
wasted all your cap space signing Leon Draisaitl for an insane amount of time and money.
The trade is one
and
for
Milan
one.
And Lucic. More Lucic, yeah. The trade was one for one, everybody.
Yeah.
They just put that on a jersey. And the Blues also fired their head coach.
Yes.
They fired Mike Yeo.
Mike Yeo, yeah. Steve?
I mean,
Mike,
you saw Steve. That coming.
Yeah, the Blues, again, also one of my favorite jerseys. Like, I like their thirds this year, if we're going to go back to the jerseys.
Oh, the throwbacks? Yeah. Very nice.
But
Mike Yeo, you saw coming from a mile away.
They did not even live up remotely close to their expectations this year. And they made some... We talk about this almost every week, how the Blues made some really awesome off-season trades, and they looked...
Yeah.
Like, they could make a run at it this year, and they have... they are in probably, in my opinion, the most stacked division in the NHL, but I still expect them to be top two or three in it.
Yeah, for sure. They should at the very least be in a good... They should have a playoff spot in most cases, I would say. When you have a group with, like, Vladdy Tarasenko and Ryan O'Reilly,
yeah.
You can't be missing with that group.
No, not at all.
Do you think goaltending is partially to do? I don't think Jake Allen has been particularly poor this year. I think he's been all right, from my understanding. He hasn't been bad.
I like Jake Allen. He,
maybe I'm wrong and I just haven't seen a lot of him.
I haven't been watching, truthfully, a lot of Blues games, but...
They're one of those teams.
They're just one of those teams. It's like when the Sharks play them, and I'm already watching the Sharks. I'm like, oh, this is going to be exciting. They're playing the Blues. But then I never go out of my way to seek out Blues games.
You might have to join me in my kind of like, not, I guess, hockey resolution that I've kind of come to, which is I want to start trying to get into the habit of watching one game featuring two teams I generally don't watch, or like one team I generally don't watch every week, like one game a week, where I focus on like that one particular team.
All right.
And just kind of see what they do. You might have to join me on that.
Yeah, let me... I'm going to see who's playing this week.
Because there's some good... I mean, there's always good games, and it's kind of like... I do try... Right now, I'm especially trying to look out for finding games where it's like, okay, I haven't seen this team, and then I focus particularly on the one team and just kind of see what they do. Okay, Jake Allen hasn't been good. He's a... He's 5-5 record. 5-5-3, I should say. And he's got an 8.95 save percentage. Oof.
Not fantastic.
Not fantastic at all. Chad Johnson's been all right. He's got a 916. Chad Johnson. Ocho Cinco. They're the same guy, right? I'm pretty sure they're the same guy. You're right. Absolutely. He went from being a quarterback in the NFL, or an NFL player at the very least, to a CFL player very briefly.
Was he really in the CFL?
Very briefly for the Montreal Alouettes. That was fun. And now he's the goaltender for the St. Louis Blues.
Amazing.
Amazing. Amazing career. Stellar.
The CFL Beautiful. Has had some hilarious people in it, such as Johnny Manziel.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson, sort of.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson was in the CFL. I forgot about that.
He was a Calgary Stampeder. Amazing. Actually, I've been having the conversation with my coworkers about how they don't watch the CFL and they think the CFL is dumb.
Do you think the CFL is dumb?
I maintain. Well, okay. I don't really like football in general, and sometimes when I read hockey Twitter, I feel like I'm the only person on hockey Twitter who doesn't watch any football, which kind of surprises me. But I don't know. I like the CFL kind of just from a patriotic standpoint, because it's the Canadian Football League. But even then, I don't watch it religiously. I watch it maybe like once every so often. Watch a Lions game. I like going to the games.
Yeah. They're fun. Yeah, I'm a Raiders fan, so I'm watching a brief attempt at football this season.
Ah, yes, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, tragic. Tragic.
Very tragic. You might be better off without them. They're so bad.
Yeah.
They're so bad, you might be better off without them. And what's his name? The guy who got signed for some insane amount of money that I hear nothing about, that I hear plenty about every week.
Oh, our coach that we signed for $110 million? Yes. John Gruden?
Yeah, the guy from Despicable Me, right?
Good. Gru. That's a good comparison. It's Gru. That's fantastic.
It's Gru. It's Despicable. It's that guy. It's Steve Carell.
Steve Carell is coaching the Oakland Raiders.
So how has Steve Carell been doing for coaching the Oakland Raiders?
What's your record, I believe we're 2-8 now. It's fantastic.
To bring it back to hockey, did you know Steve Carell is on the Elite Prospects website?
Yes, I was actually talking to this about somebody. I believe he played in college or something.
Yeah, he's a good hockey player. If you watch the whole thing on The Office, he's actually a good skater.
Threat Level Midnight.
Yeah, he's actually a really good skater. That was all him because he played hockey as a kid. He was a goalie. He was a goalie as well.
That's amazing.
His school, because he went to Cornell. No, not Cornell. He went to some pretty major Eastern school.
I'm gonna look it up right now.
We're getting off topic again.
Yes, it's hard not to.
Yeah, Mikey, it's hard not to because we're just having fun, you know.
It is.
Mike Yeo, getting fired makes sense. Because again, he's never done anything like
it's been
noteworthy.
Meh.
Yeah, it's just been a career full of meh. He's never had that one season where it's been like, where it's either he's been like a candidate for coach of the year or something like that. It's always just been kind of, it's just been, you've done some good things and then they underperform in the playoffs or they just bow out really quickly.
So who is taking over the head coaching position in St. Louis?
Craig Berube is the interim head coach, but apparently they're not like, you know.
They're not sticking with that.
If Joel Quenneville decides to come to St. Louis, they'll toss Craig Berube out. But I mean, Berube coached the Flyers last. He was head coach of the Flyers last. Which, by the way, I'm surprised Dave Haxtell has lasted this long.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, they're not committing to him full long term. At the very least, they'll go into next season and find someone new. But for now, I mean, it's. You're just kind of trying to see what works, you know? I don't think they're in... It's so early in the season that you can get away with that sort of thing and still make the playoffs if you can find something that works.
The Blues could have their Stanley Cup DVD rallying moment also. Potentially.
I mean...
Maybe.
Potentially. They are the Blues, so that's kind of hard to do.
Just more Chad Johnson. That's all you need.
The only team that's had a more... sad existence than the Canucks have at this point, frankly.
A little bit, yes. Also, yeah. Looked it up, Steve Carell Buffalo. Played Division III for Denison University in Ohio as their goalie. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I mean, clearly, we need to get him on the show at some point.
That's the only interview that matters.
The only interview that matters is Steve Carell and ask him hockey questions.
Yeah, yes, he's going to be absolutely. Yeah, you could ask him all you want about this movie he was just in, might be nominated for an Academy Award, and be like,
yeah.
So how? Yeah. Threat so level midnight.
So, hockey. You're good at it. Tell me.
Yeah.
So Steve Carell, you think you could outskate Connor McDavid in a race?
My money would 1,000% be on Steve Carell in that situation.
I'm putting mine on McDavid because I'm a smart person.
You just gotta there's no way. Connor McDavid would probably lose intentionally to Steve Carell because it's Steve Carell.
That would be a fun video at the NHL Awards.
That would be.
That'd be like a fun little NHL Awards skit, you see. In terms of other teams that are doing well, Buffalo.
Buffalo is suddenly good. They decided to be good at ice hockey.
Yeah. They decided to be good finally, and, you know, good for them. It's good to see that they're doing well, especially because, you know, they've made the right calls. They've made some good changes.
They definitely have.
Over the last season. And I'm not just talking about Rasmus Dahlin. That's only a piece of what they've done that's worked well for them this year.
Oh, they got, what's his name from Carolina?
They got Jeff Skinner.
Jeff Skinner.
I still can't believe Carolina. I can't believe Carolina's doing this well after without him. Jeff Skinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Sabres are now third in the Atlantic Division.
And I don't see why they can't keep that.
I don't either.
I don't see why they, I mean, Montreal is Montreal, and Boston will give them a run.
Yeah.
Well, Boston should give them the run, but they haven't been as good as they need to be.
Yeah. Also, the Red Wings are in a bit of a comeback. They are 8-2 in their last 10.
Holy crap. That's insane.
Still second to last from the Atlantic, but
yeah. Yeah, let's do a quick standings look before we as we wrap things up here.
Blue Jackets number one in the Met. Wow. Didn't see that.
Blue Jackets number one. The Rangers in second. Hold on, I had to read that twice because that just didn't register the first time. How are the Rangers second in the Metro?
I couldn't tell you.
They're supposed to be tanking right now.
Can we talk about the Penguins being last in the Metro?
Yes.
It's because of those third jerseys that I hate.
Oh, yes, the third jerseys that they've worn maybe like once or twice this season have been their downfall.
In my opinion.
The Devils.
Yes.
The Devils also last. Man, right now, if the season ended today, you'd have three teams that didn't make the playoffs last year in the playoffs this year?
Yeah, that's insane.
Wow. That's pretty crazy, and New Jersey being last is especially interesting. I mean, they've had Nico Hischier's been out with some injuries, so that's been makes sense. That kind of makes sense. Florida's got Luongo back, so they should be a little bit better. Hopefully, they do a little bit better. They've got too good a group to waste it, you know.
The Central Division makes sense to me, for more or less.
Yeah, that's.
I kind of expected Chicago to make a bit more of a statement after having a not great season last year, but they've kind of just stuck with that, I guess.
See, I expected Chicago to be way worse than they are right now.
Really?
I mean, they're not doing... I mean, I expected them near the bottom. I expect them to finish dead last in that division this year.
Yeah, the Blues are kind of taking that.
Because that's a bad team. But Chicago's a bad team. They've got some good young pieces like Alex DeBrincat coming up.
Yeah.
But I mean, right now they're not good.
No.
They're not a good group. I'm amazed they're even this close to a playoff spot right now.
Yeah, I think right now with the Central, I kind of would expect the Blues to be where the Wild are. In third instead of the Wild being in third. But
yeah, I'm amazed. That's another team that surprised me. I don't know how I didn't expect the Wild to jump up to being in a playoff spot again.
Yeah, and then Pacific, we got Sharks 1, Flames 2, Canucks 3rd, the Oilers.
Fallen. Oh, man, that goal differential, negative 14. Oof.
Yikes.
That's tied for third worst with Chicago. Oh, that's, oof, that hurts. That really hurts.
Still finding a way to get those points, though.
Still finding a way to get those points, and also the fact that the Canucks, oh, they would be in a playoff spot even if the division was set up in the old way. They would still be in a playoff spot, believe it
look
or not.
Look at that. That's okay. Huge.
Look at us. Look at them go. Arizona's being Arizona.
The Knights, I guess.
Vegas.
Yeah, that's a bit.
A dip. Which, stunning, just for the fact that, I mean, they got better in the offseason. I don't know how they're
doing. It's,
I mean,
wow.
The slump was kind of expect. Like, I didn't expect them to win a division again or anything.
No, they weren't going to repeat what they did last season. That was obvious, but I expected top three. I expected top three from them.
When you add Max Pacioretty and Paul Stastny.
You assume.
That's, you assume you should be in a playoff spot right now.
Yeah.
And then there's Dallas, who is that kind of that team that always starts really well at the beginning of the year and then completely fades.
Yeah.
And then totally fades by the end of the year. So I kind of expect the same result this year until they prove me otherwise.
Yeah.
Colorado. Just being Colorado with Mikko Rantanen and Gabriel Landeskog and Nathan MacKinnon just running everything.
They're just in such a stacked division. It's hard to... Like, with the Avalanche, Wild, Jets, and Preds all in that division, it's just kind of crazy.
Yeah, that division is totally stacked. There's no way. There's no way the Canucks, or any, I should say, any team in the Pacific walks out of there with, like, four Pacific teams in the playoffs. There's no way. It's going to be three Pacific teams, and that's it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Those are the spots. Go get them.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, well, we have a bet. That's going to be set.
We have a bet. We'll have a trophy, I'm sure, at some point, too.
Yeah. Atlanta Thrashers jersey, ideally.
There's a lot of things we still got to do. We got to do a game where we both go. We got to do all the Van Jose rivalry stuff
at some point.
Yeah, for sure. I think the next time they come is in December. Is December? No, maybe February. I don't know.
I can look up right now the Sharks.
Yeah, there are only four games this year.
Let's see. Sharks versus Canucks. Only
there's
three.
There's only the four.
Only three? Yeah.
That's really low for a division. That's weird.
Yeah, they're this Friday and then one in the same week, or two in the same week in February.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I thought there was at least one in like April or something.
That seems low.
I think there's one in April.
Maybe.
But yeah, I guess.
Oh, there is one in April. Yeah.
Like last week of the season. Yeah.
April 2nd. Yeah.
And that one's in Vancouver. I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
That which of course is going to be for the Pacific Division title.
Oh,
you know, that's
going
to be where it comes down to. I can't trust Calgary to stay on that pace either.
But if it's four games, what if it's a tie in our bet? If it's 2-2.
Well, that's a good question. I guess we're both. Are we both winners?
We're
or are
both,
we
both losers.
Losers. I think we have to. We're both losers, so we both wear the jersey.
Okay, that's fair.
Is that if we're both losers if it ties? Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, it'll come down to point differential as well. You know.
Maybe we'll see each other in the playoffs. Also, that could be a factor in it. Also.
That could be true for the when you know the Canucks make their magical run to the Cup Finals as we all predicted.
As
we all predicted. And then Erik Karlsson comes just to make it a dynasty.
Yeah.
You know, in the offseason.
of course.
Just continuing the trend of the... And then somehow the Canucks also make a trade that ends up landing them Jack Hughes at the beginning, in the draft, just to make us even more stacked.
Oh, duh.
There we go. It's going to be... Oh, man. Quinn Hughes playing with Erik Karlsson. That would be a lot...
That would
be
actually
a defensive pairing for the ages. That would be the best power play unit of all time.
In the entire history of the NHL.
For sure. All right. And that's it for today.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
That was pretty good. One programming note I should add is right now, so I'm actually in Seattle. We're recording this, and I'm not at my usual home. I'm in Seattle visiting my girlfriend for Thanksgiving. So... that factored in a little bit, but also, our producer Matt is also traveling. He's in, France right now, visiting his sister.
That's awesome.
So,
I wish I was in France now.
Yeah, I think we all wish we were in France right now. We should have taken the podcast, on the road, you know? international, yeah. Do a tour.
Yeah. We're that big.
With our two episodes. We're that big with our two episodes. Wow. Three now. Just imagine what it's going to be.
It's going to be
mania. But so the episode might not get up online right off the bat. You might not be listening to this until after the game, until after the Sharks Canucks game on Friday. Who knows? We'll try and get it up as soon as possible. But yeah, thanks for listening this week, and we will see you after the first San Jose rivalry game of the year.
Yeah, remember to subscribe and follow us on social media, all that good stuff.
Yep, we're on all the platforming, the platforms. And yeah, just find us on Van Jose Podcast. Google it. You'll find it.
Awesome. Love it.
Yeah. Well, and we'll see you next week.
Awesome.